Paul, you, Terry, and Light Show go to Light Show's car. Terry sits in front, and Light Show sits next to you in the back. Light Show says, "All right, we gotta talk about the other day."
"Which other day? There's been so much going on lately."
"I mean when Flux's mom was kidnapped."
"Yeah, what about it?"
"Look, that was real field work. And I know that I'm not sure what it's like to die and come back to life."
"Oh, come on, are you gonna complain about my work performance?"
"Well, I am. There are times when it's gonna be life or death out there, and taking it seriously is gonna matter. Freeze Frame and Flux were having a breakdown, and that's bad, but they clearly can't help it. You, meanwhile, were just calmly egging it on."
"So they get a pass because they're incapable, but I get a lecture?"
"You of all people should know that's how it works. Those of us with power and the ability to make a difference are doing evil by not doing good. If it were just Flux and Freeze Frame, I'd be let down by them, but you, I know, are better. You could have done better, because I've seen you do better work. Why didn't you?"
"Freeze Frame gave me the order to scout the place before you arrived, and I did. He just forgot. Could already tell there was nobody in the building and nothing happening. There wasn't a rush."
"Okay."
"So I find them a little frustrating."
"Don't you think that sets a bad tone, though?"
"Which part?"
"Well, look, they're not functioning, but instead of setting an example, you're playing into their flaws and encouraging them to be that way."
"I have been on thin ice with Lowry, Light Show. He's looking for a reason to throw me under the bus. You want me to argue with him?"
"No. I mean, no. But I would like you to meet an example. Because if it gets clear that this is what we're going to tolerate, then that'll be what happens all the time."
"Yeah, well, it's easy to criticize. But if I die tomorrow and don't come back, what would you do differently, huh?"
"Well, I..."
"See, you ask me to come up with the answers, but the harder I push, the more Lowry and Elvis want to sit and not move. If I knew how to get a good outcome with them, I would."
"I'm still really not as well integrated into the team yet. I don't have as much seniority."
"We call what I have baggage. It's not pull, it's weight."
"Okay, maybe I could do more. But if I did speak up, you know, if I tried, would you have my back?"
"If I back you, there's a real chance that you'll be pushed back. If I'm on your side, they'll look down on you."
"Well, I can't speak up 2-on-1.
"Why don't you have Terry speak up?"
I'm
kidding. But look, I think Lowry is legitimately toxic. His leadership is going to sprinkle toxin from the head on down. You can try to fix the problem, but I've never known bad leadership to get sincerely fixed by its subordinates."
"Well, maybe. But if someone new comes in, I can try to guide them towards the right principles. And I guess what I'm getting at is that if we're going to keep working together, I want to feel like you're focused on those principles too. Because I look up to you as someone who does care about the quality of our work. Maybe that's not fair, but it really upsets me and lets me down to think that you're very goal-oriented, very experienced in the field, very competent, and then not seeing you locked in when the tires hit the pavement. You're my senior at this company, right? You were there working with Captain Momentum, and he used to proudly hold you at his right hand. We've worked together in the past, and I've seen you treat the job like it's life or death. Because it is. All I ask is that you just keep being that guy that you were."
"All right, okay. Look. I've been wrapped up in my issues with Lowry. Maybe I've been myopic. I don't know. I can't promise I'm not going to let you down again. I'm not exactly a flawless individual. But talks like this help remind me why I care, so I guess I won't screw around or try to feed the problems that are already there. And if you need to speak up again, then you can holler at me. Life's about challenges, you know? If nobody keeps you in check, you kind of..."
"It's a daily struggle, I know."
"You got some stuff that you could work on."
"We all got stuff. Everybody's got stuff."
"I got a lot of stuff."
"I know. But Rudy's big thing was that he always tried to see the good in people. You know, he had some personal chats with me that made me feel a lot better about myself. Sometimes I imagine the type of things that you guys used to talk about. Like, in the end, I think that all we really want to be is the person that Rudy used to believe that we were."
"And I wish he weren't dead."
"Yeah, me too. I signed on because I remember what it was like working with him."
"I'm sorry he's not still here. I get way too thin with everything all the time to ever really fill the gaps like he did."
"I don't understand how he did it either. Unstoppable HQ feels really dysfunctional. I'm like, look, I hope you don't mind me saying, you're a notorious problem personality."
"I kind of prefer the term incorrigible."
"Sure, because that makes you sound cute. But it's not cute. You're an evil old man, Kimon."
"If I ever get so old, I can no longer kill a man with a sandal. It'll be cute."
"Well, what I was getting at is that I feel like you'll never be the glue that holds this team together. It was kind of amazing that Rudy had you. It was like he tamed a polar bear or a wolverine or something. I don't know if there's an animal quite as bad as you get. And I don't know where Rudy was able to find the patience, because if we keep having issues, it's going to keep making me angry. And at some point, I'm not going to be able to have these respectful conversations with you. It's going to be a line for me where I just can't respect it anymore. And I hope that you understand what I'm saying. Right now, I get it, and I can empathize with you. But if anyone gets hurt because of this dysfunction, and I know that we could have avoided it, that's it.
Truth be told, Light Show, I don't see Lowry or myself changing that much.
Well, if that's the truth, I don't want to be the one changing a lot either. I've talked to you, I've said what I can. If I realize I need to move on from Unstoppable HQ down the line, then I want to feel like I did my best, and I tried to be the person that I wanted to be.
All right, fair. We'll both do our best and try to be the people that Rudy thought we were, even if maybe what he believed in wasn't always true.
I just don't understand how he kept at it.
Rudy had to be one of the saddest, most stressed out people I ever met. He was personally invested in everything, and it killed him when people didn't rise to the occasion, because he always thought they could. He had these constant turns of self-doubt, like he wasn't doing enough to motivate everyone and see what he saw in them. You could choose to let him down if you wanted, but it was like kicking a puppy. There's just no good reason to do it.
Was he sad? Like stressed, I get.
Not always, but he had pits that he'd fall into. I mean, I might have brought those out of him by being so cynical all the time. I used to voice a lot of complaints that he'd commiserate with, like we couldn't avoid that certain things are true.
I don't want Unstoppable Industries to not be the institution that he wanted it to be.
Well, it's not his institution now, it's Lowry's.
You really are a cynic.
Well, if you're not a cynic yourself, Light Show, then your goal should always be to prove the cynics wrong. Are you a cynic, or are you going to be the difference that proves me wrong?
I'm going to try to prove you wrong.
Well, and in that case, good luck. Really. But I'll be thinking about our conversation either way.
You get out of the car, but before you get to your motorcycle, Michael intercepts you. Come on! I'm glad I caught you before you left. I have a letter from our insurance for you.
Insurance? What insurance? What do they want?
It's the healthcare company. This was supposed to go to the HQ, but they just missed the big disaster. It's not a plan change or anything, so it must be, I don't know, relevant to something else.
I haven't been using our insurance for anything.
You open it up, and it's a letter informing you that the medical teams operating at the scene of the compound bust declared you dead. And now that they realize that you're alive, they understand they can bill you for their services. They're demanding $40,000, but the insurance is rejecting the claim on the basis that it didn't cover death. That leaves you on the hook to pay that bill out of pocket.
Wait.
What is it?
Some medical quack is charging me $40,000 for declaring me dead. And the insurance understandably says that's complete garbage, which somehow means I'm on the hook.
Are you sure? I mean, we got just about the best insurance we can get for a superhero.
They say they don't cover death.
Oh. Well, I guess that really wouldn't be part of our contract.
A contract? $40,000? For what? I was ripped in half. Anyone at the scene could have identified me as dead. The squirrels knew I was dead. This isn't a service.
Well, I would guess that the argument is that only a qualified medical professional can declare that officially, though.
Why 40,000? How did they arrive at that?
Well, it's probably not a normal billing figure. And they know that you're a high-profile guy with theoretically good income, so they came to something.
But I don't have good income. I've been buried in various civil garnishments for years. I can't afford $40,000 with what I actually take home.
Well, maybe you can call them and explain that or set up a billing plan.
What are you, Michael, apologizing for this?
Legally, they have the right to bill you.
How is this any different from being scammed by a Nigerian prince? Sure, I imagine they did a little bit of something, but certainly not enough to earn a brand new BMW on the spot. We call ourselves a superhero company, and yet you have the gall to hand me a letter like this.
I didn't know what was in it.
A ransom note! Extortion! And I have to pay this?
Well, legally, yeah.
Why do I have to pay this?
Because they provided a service that they're charging for.
What service? There's no service! It's just a scam!
Look, I am sorry to be the bearer of bad news. I'm just the messenger. I'm not sure what your situation is in terms of the company covering your costs, but maybe we can talk to Snakeman and work something out. Obviously, the company's in a bad way right now, but another $40,000 isn't going to hurt us.
Oh, the company. You know what, Michael? There is a point where the money doesn't even matter. This is just blatant disrespect. It's spitting in my eye and expecting to get away with it, to just walk away afterward. You know what I ought to do? I ought to go to this company and threaten to kill this guy's whole family if he doesn't give me $40,000.
Well, that would be illegal. And as a superhero company, I would advise you not to even talk like that. And if you keep making threats like that, then we maybe have to deem that as actionable.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was speaking to a moral paragon. Oh, wait, I'm not. You cheated on your wife, Michael.
I didn't know that you...
Rudy was crushed about it.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that he chose to talk to you about that. It was a personal moment. And a lapse in my judgment.
You know what really pisses me off the most is that I know that the people behind these kinds of things even more intimately than I did when I was a villain. It's people like you and Lowry and Kelvin McDonald. And you sit here and you come up with these bills and these ideas on how to get rich, and you just ship them off to the world with no real regard for anyone or anything. Do you feel remorse? Damn it, if the people who wrote this bill could hear me ranting, they'd probably be sitting in their chair laughing like the fat greaseballs that they are, because they know millions of people around this country feel exactly like this every year. And there's nothing anyone can do, Michael. Every legal avenue points back to impotency, and there's nothing you get to do.
Well, the insurance gives you a number that you can try to call to appeal the denial.
Yeah, I could talk to the insurance if they'd like to change their minds on a decision to rip me off. Do I need to get on my knees and grovel? Exactly when does my dignity come into play?
I think at this point that you've already thrown your dignity well out the window.
It shouldn't be up to you, or Lowry, or my insurance, or the medical guys what counts as dignity. My wife was right, I should have blown my brains out and stayed dead rather than bowing to this worthless altar. How does it make sense that someone who sends a letter like this gets to decide what decorum or propriety should be defined as?
I don't know if you noticed, but if you'd been polite, I was offering to help you out.
Grab Michael by his suit. Listen to me, Michael. Listen. The money does not fix this. Do you understand? Mercury sells drugs to kids, and we don't just say, oh, well, that's fair. We'll pay for the damage. That's life. We fight it. Because it's wrong, and it destroys people, and it shouldn't be tolerated. Extortion is wrong. I don't care how you dress it up, or if a hospital calls it St. Whatever's Mary Playhouse for Children. They extort people. They're extorting me. You're telling me to smile and nod and play polite when nobody who would send a bill like this could possibly be kind or polite or thoughtful. And then you're gonna say that I'm too much and I'm too aggressive just before you go upstairs and you tell Calvin McDonald that he's a genius for aggressively stealing people's water or God knows what form of evil. You nor anyone from above can condescend to me about what is polite or what is correct. Not until a single one of you can grasp the concept of decency and morality in the first place. Until then, you're worth nothing! The guy behind this bill is just some other idiot named Michael, or John, or Fitzgerald. I don't know who he is, but he's nobody. And this isn't what Rudy promised me when I signed on with this company.
I would like for you to let go of my jacket.
I let him go.
I am sorry that this happened to you, but this was not an appropriate response.
When criminals write the laws, and we act to uphold those laws, are we legal enforcers or criminal enforcers? We tolerate entirely too much and stand for nothing.
It is not our job to resolve civil issues.
Haven't you got the wealth and power to make a difference, Michael?
I run the company. And if you don't mind, I have a lot of company business right now.
May this whole system fall to pieces around the ears of everyone who benefits from it. Go and talk to Satan, then. He's waiting for you upstairs.
The devil wears a lot of faces, Kimon.
Well, then you better be careful he's not wearing yours.
Michael leaves, coldly, clearly angry with you.
Well, I've got an appointment with another version of evil. I ride out and get to work preparing a disguise to meet with Mercury.
As you go off to do that, Lowry, Michael knocks on the door of your suite. You and Calvin were just finishing up small talk and a gourmet breakfast. As he comes in, Michael says, "Sorry I'm late. I had a little brush with Kimon, and he put his hands on me."
Hands on you? How? Did he hit you?
No, he just grabbed me by the jacket. But still, I think maybe it's time we started having a serious conversation about his place at the company. Rudy had him under control, but it feels like maybe the rudder's coming loose.
I have been having the exact same issues with him. He's been belligerent with me as well, and I thought that maybe it was just something between me and him.
Apparently not.
Elvis has also put in a few complaints, and nothing terribly actionable, but it's probably not a good idea to wait until this escalates any worse.
I'll be honest, my heart was pounding. He's not that big, but it's like being grabbed by a gorilla. You know he could punch through your brains in a second, and when he's grabbed you, you already know he's not thinking straight. I just had to try not to blink.
That is pretty far over the line. Look, if it's not just me at stake, we should definitely let him go. But the biggest problem I keep running into is the timing. We can't really deal with the added PR while we're already in crisis mode, and he has too many fans for it to go down quietly.
McDonald says, "Well, what's all this talk about being concerned your attack dog snarls and nips at people? He's trained to be a brute, and you're shocked when he acts like one?"
Well, of course, sir. That's why we've signed on with the COG program, so we can start having attack dogs that aren't liable to bite their own handlers.
If he put his hands on you, that's assault or possibly battery, isn't it? I think knowing how deadly his hands are could certainly rise to the level of being a felony, which then nullifies his pardon and sets him up with a one-way ticket to Luna Island, don't it?
We could probably dangle that over him.
Oh, I mean, yeah, but also we could make it clear that one way to avoid jeopardizing the conditions of his pardon would be to sign on with the COG program.
That sounds like a good idea. But the problem is, I think as long as he knows it would damage the company, he'd rather do that than avoid prison time. I think maybe we could try pressuring him with the threat of legal action. You know, ask him to renegotiate his contract while adding a clause opting into the COG program. We'd really have to corner him, though. Get him in a place where he can't read the contract carefully or get in touch with a lawyer first.
Michael says, I don't know if I want to do that after just one incident. I think maybe a clean break in the near future would be a correct course of action. If he breaks the law on his own watch, then at that point, then maybe we can think about opting him in for COG, but...
Well, Michael, if we let him go and he spends time away from the company, then the public will already start thinking of him as being distant from the company. Then his brand isn't very useful to us. If we can get him into COG, then we can keep him as an asset without skipping a beat, but not have to deal with all the complications of his personality.
Fine. If that's the direction you feel is best, then that's the direction we can go. But I don't want to be the one who pulls the trigger on accusing him of wrongdoing. I think it was just a one-off, okay? I handed him a medical bill, which, in fairness, was a bit ridiculous. It probably would have upset anybody, and he had no one else to go off on.
Michael, you shouldn't make excuses for him just because you want to avoid, you know, punishing him. He has a pattern of bad behavior.
Well, a reprimand would be one thing, but we're talking about putting him in the COG program, okay? I think that if you can find anyone else who would accuse him of a clear felony that would jeopardize his situation, then I'll sign on and confirm that I've also been victimized. Has he touched you, Lowry?
No, but I wouldn't like to wait for that.
Well, I'm not going to press charges on my own. Rudy wouldn't have...
Rudy would have upheld the law.
Rudy would have been sad to see everything that's been happening lately.
I suppose that, too.
McDonald says, well, speaking of everything that's happened, there's quite a bit I'd like to go over. Let's sit down.